Now, why would a slick little hustler like you want to sign up for this kind of abuse anyway?
I want to fly jets, sir.
My grandmama wants to fly jets.
I wanted since I was a kid.
We're not talking about flying here. We're talking about character.
I've changed. I've changed since I've been here.
Hell, you have.
I've changed, sir.
No. You just polished up your act a little bit. You just shined it up. Now, tell me what I want to hear. I want your D.O.R.
No, sir.
I want your D.O.R.
I ain't gonna quit.
Spell it.
D.O.R. I ain't gonna quit.
Yeah, then you can be free, and you and your daddy can get drunk and go hall chasing again, huh?
No, sir.
D.O.R.
I ain't gonna quit.
All right, then you can forget it. You're out.
On March 29, 2024, Lou Gossett Jr., who rose to fame with his Emmy Award-winning portrayal of Fiddler in the miniseries Roots, and an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor as Gunnery Sergeant Emil Foley in An Officer and a Gentleman, died after a long illness. Gossett is one of the great pioneers of African-American actors, frequently taking on groundbreaking and, at times, over his 70-plus years on stage and screen, controversial roles that push boundaries and challenge conventions. Gossett would later say he wasn't convinced when he was young whether the Hollywood establishment was ready for him, but that he intended to come to find out. With his supporting actor win for An Officer and a Gentleman, he became the first black man to be so honored, a feat of which he was both justly proud and humbled. For all of Gossett's acting accolades and accomplishments, his true legacy is that of a man of uncommon kindness and generosity. Gossett was one of the most liked actors in Hollywood, known as a true gentleman of the industry. One of the few who, as Denzel Washington said, quote, understands that true success comes from the respect your colleagues have for you. And measured on those terms, Lou Gossett may be the most successful actor there ever was. He was a humanitarian and an advocate for social change. He worked with UNICEF to combat child hunger around the world, founded anti-racism organizations, and donated and raised tens of millions of dollars to help impoverished American veterans. Lou Gossett was 87 years old. I'm Jason Beckerman.
I'm Charles Lackey-Baudière, filling in for Derek Kaufman.
This is Last Days, Lou Gossett Jr. Charles, we were both a bit young. You were a little bit older than I was, just
once,
to point that out.
Once upon a time,
right.
We were young. Yes.
To appreciate Roots when it came out in 1977, but I don't think that it's too much hyperbole to say that it is among the most important television events in American television history. And Gossett as the Fiddler was really the heart, the emotional center of the miniseries.
Absolutely. And actually, maybe it's because I am a little bit older.
Yeah, quite a bit. But, you know, we'll
a few months.
Fine, yeah.
I do remember it as being that kind of event that it was important for at least my family. I can't say that everyone in my town was at that point watching this, but it was one of those things that the entire family gathered around. We watched it every night. I don't know that I was old enough to understand why I was being made to watch it, but my parents did make me watch it. And as I'm watching it, I definitely felt the importance, the impact of it. And watching Lou Gossett's performance as Fiddler was troubling, but also it made me understand, it really made me understand what enslaved people were going through, what it was. And it was the first time, and we've talked about this in this office a lot, that it's shocking how much you are not taught about slavery in school growing up. Like, it's, I remember it as being a very cursory thing. Like, yes, we were told it existed and why it was there. And it was more about finance and blah, 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 blah. This was the first real education for myself, and I think for millions of Americans, black and white, of what slavery was really like.
Yeah,
because we weren't learning it in school.
It was the depictions of the horrors of what actually happened to the slaves that was, I think, and I'm putting myself back in my 6-year-old brain, but talking to my parents about
which
it,
which isn't
more evolved,
less developed. Yeah.
But like with you, I sat down every night and watched it with my parents, and it's hard in a modern context to understand how big a television miniseries could be. But you had tens of millions of people watching it and sort of water cooling it.
Right, when there were only three networks back then.
Exactly, right. And when there was an event like this, and Alex Haley's book on Roots was an enormous success and was very provocative and important in its own right, and the miniseries comes out, but it showed depictions of slavery that I think everybody was not everybody, but certainly a lot of folks, a lot of white folks were either uncomfortable ever discussing or didn't acknowledge to them that it had happened. Just the horrors, the whippings, the beatings, the starvation, the trip over on the Central Passage, et cetera.
Yeah. I got to say, like, obviously the parts of Roots that were more impactful to me, I mean, obviously the violence and the whippings and things like that were horrific. But on a smaller level, just the way that they were spoken to, and in particular, I'm talking about Lou Gossett's character, because he played Fiddler, who, if you haven't seen Roots, was sort of the, and he used this phrase in describing the character, like an Uncle Tom, was the house slave. He was the one who was training Kunta Kinte.
Don't you care what that white man call you? Like you said, Toby. What you care? You know who you be? Kunta. It's who you always be. Kunta Kinte.
To watch the way that he was spoken to by the slave master, by the owner, and not in an angry tone. It was upsetting to me.
Very matter of fact, sort of.
It's matter of factly, like saying, you know, like, well, you know what I think of all my niggers? Like, you're my favorite fiddler. And it really hit me how dehumanizing that word was and the way it was used. And now when I look back at it, I think for Lou Gossett Jr., how difficult that role must have been to put himself in that role and to really own the role in a way that, I mean, he, you know, got an Emmy.
Yep.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Macy's, Adidas, and Walmart, and even stack sales on top of cash back. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. So download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten. R-A-K-U-T-E-N.
So bridging that gap. So he started out as a stage guy, started out in high school, 17. He becomes an actor, gets the bug, goes and tries to do stage, gets the role in Roots, and then returns to the stage for a few years and then gets An Officer and a Gentleman. And it really, you know, he plays a, really an iconic role of Drill Sergeant Emil Foley. It's, you know, what's interesting, it was supposed to be a Richard Gere movie. Richard Gere is coming out of American Gigolo. He is both physically the hottest guy, but also in Hollywood, he's the new sort of it guy, and everybody wants to make him a huge star. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, I just listened to a podcast about the movie. There's a lot of back and forth about whether Gere should take on the role. Is it a significant enough movie? What kind of actor does he want to be? So he takes it on with some misgivings, and he gets in, and he's great. By the way, I rewatched it recently, and Richard Gere does a really nice job, but he's out-acted in every single scene by Lou Gossett.
Really?
He is a titan.
It's been a while. I haven't seen it probably since 85 or so. I saw it on VHS.
So, it's very unwoke, but the most sort of iconic scene in terms of Lou Gossett's presence on stage is when he's meeting the new recruits. And he we find out that he does this every time. He lines up the recruits and starts insulting them, basically to try to get them to honor him as basically their father,
right,
their whatever, their tutor.
You got to tear him down.
You got to tear him down.
Right.
And here is the really unwoke, off-color, antiquated in hindsight. We don't support it here.
What?
But iconic.
Any other clarifications you want to make here?
But iconic movie line from Lou Gossett.
Where are you from, boy?
Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, sir.
Ah.
Only two things come out of Oklahoma. Steers and queer. Which one are you, boy? I don't see no horns. So you must be a queer.
So you know what occurred to me as I was watching this today? He really, I think, invented this trope of this hard-charging drill sergeant.
Yeah? It's the first movie that I saw that I can remember seeing where that character was there. And it is every time I saw that character in other movies, it always reminded me of Lou Gossett playing Emil. Like,
I think the most famous one after Lou Gossett would be the commander in Full Metal Jacket. Remember,
because
he ends up actually getting killed by one of the trainees.
Yeah.
Later, but I've forgotten that actor's name, but a great American actor, and he does an incredible
job. And he passed away too, didn't he?
He did, yeah. But you got Platoon, there's great scenes. It was actually a famous off-camera story about Gossett involved in the shooting of Officer and a Gentleman. The production was famously a mess. Apparently, Deborah Winger and Richard Gere hated each other from like day one. And every time they had a lot of on-screen chemistry, but every time the cameras would turn off, they would go to the separate quarters and they really couldn't talk to each other at all. And Lou Gossett was a little bit older than both of them, kind of took on the role as the like going between camps,
right,
to talk to Gere, talk to Winger. All right, guys, you
the
got
ambassador.
The next scene to do. You're both getting paid good money. Let's go out. And he was the one that kind of, and Gere has given him a ton of credit for doing this. Deborah Winger came out publicly and said that talking to Richard Gere, trying to get Richard Gere to deliver emotion, was like trying to get a brick wall to deliver emotion. And Lou had to go, whoa, 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 she didn't mean it. She didn't mean it.
What she meant to say was, well.
Exactly. Brick walls can be incredible actors, right? So he's just like toggling back and forth. But Gere acknowledged that Gossett was the guy. He said that he gave him a sense of professionalism. Basically, I think Richard Gere was young and hot and was pretty immature. I think he
probably
didn't
think of the craft,
right,
the
exactly,
way that Lou Gossett did, obviously.
And thought he was the big, you know, big dude on campus,
sure,
and he could do whatever he wanted and people had to kowtow to him. And Lou Gossett and Gere gave him a lot of credit later for giving him a sense of professionalism that he didn't have. But that movie was an enormous success.
I had no idea when we looked up the numbers on this that it made, and this is not going to sound impressive in today's numbers, but $190 million.
Yeah.
In the 80s.
On a $7 million budget.
That's
impressive on today's
easy,
dollars.
Which,
yeah,
by the way, makes me wonder how much Lou got paid for that.
Not very much. He talked about that, actually, that he said coming out of the Emmy and Oscar win, he said, man, and he said this kind of jokingly, but he expected that he'd be a 100 millionaire soon. And he said,
right,
those paydays just never came to him. He remained. He was successful. I think he did.
Kept working a lot.
Yeah.
And did get some starring roles in,
yep,
some action movies, the,
yep,
Iron Eagle movies, I remember.
Yep. He was in Jaws 3. I think he had a lead role in that. Mm-hmm. Toy Soldiers, Blue Chips. Became kind of ubiquitous, but never got that leading man.
Right.
And to the point we made at the top, he was a famously kind person. Everybody liked him. You see, everybody says nice things about people when they die, but the outpouring of support and emotion has really been incredible. His most recent project was The Color Purple, the remake that just came out recently. The actors, Fantasia, Barrino, and others have come out and really given him a lot of praise. And among them was Colman Domingo, who got a lot of fame and praise for his role in that movie. And upon Gossett's death, he wrote very nicely to him. He said, "We thank you, dear legend. You may not think of yourself that way, but we know you are, and we are on your shoulders. We appreciate you so much and all you gave to us today. We are forever indebted. May we stand firmly on his shoulders. Lift him up today. R.I.P.